Can you hear me now? No? How about now? Is that better? In podcasting, we want to come through loud and clear, and there's no one better to talk about how to do that than Martin Greeter, Group Vice President of hearing aid solutions firm Phonak. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Dom, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Martin Greeter started his career at Nestle managing an audit team, but with his entrepreneurial spirit, he soon launched and eventually became the president of Nespresso USA. Martin's career at Nestle continued to head upward, and he eventually became the global head of Nestle Baby Ness. In 2014, Martin left Nestle to be the group vice president of Phonak, an industry-leading expert on hearing aids. Climbing the corporate ladder is not enough for Martin. He's also a passionate mountaineer who has conquered the seven-summit quest of climbing the highest mountain on each continent, with Everest being the most recent success. Martin, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Martin, I've been looking forward to speaking with you because you are what some may call an intrapreneur, very entrepreneurial in nature, but you've been a hired gun or hired hand for some really big corporations.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I do come from an entrepreneur family, but then I did join, as you correctly said, a big corporation. But then
Was that because you came from an entrepreneur family?
No, actually not. No, I was always drawn to entrepreneurship and actually intrapreneur, difficult startup projects within organizations. At Nestle, I joined Nespresso when everyone was kind of shunning it and when it was a big question mark. And obviously, everyone knows now the success of Nespresso. I spent 10 years there. Then when I moved on, I actually took up a project which was called Baby Ness, which took the Nespresso concept into infant formula. We also started that business from scratch and built it. And then now it's...
Now, you weren't making coffee for babies. Let's be clear. No. Let's be clear about that.
No, we were putting infant formula into capsules.
I see. Some babies, you know, they may take well to caffeine, but...
There was actually, when we launched Baby Ness, there was a spoof on Baby Ness, which showed like the baby with huge eyes where we misplaced the capsule in the wrong machine.
Excellent.
But no, and then I moved on now to Phonak, which is actually a very dynamic, entrepreneurial, innovation-driven company. So I really feel at home in this area of innovation and entrepreneurship.
Now, Phonak is a hearing aid company, and I understand there's been a lot of consolidation in that industry, but you've got some interesting challenges. The cost of hearing aids are in the thousands of dollars, and yet at the same time, there's this incredibly burgeoning electronics industry that's been reducing the cost of electronics. And really, that wall in the middle between inexpensive electronics and expensive hearing aids is really less about technology and more about government regulation.
There's really three dynamics going on here. One is, as you correctly say, around regulation, where there is a hearing aid is a medical device and hence requires certain government regulations. There is some change happening there in the US in particular. Then we have another trend, which is around the retail landscape. Today, the retail landscape is still a rather inefficient landscape. So very few, an average audiologist will sell one hearing aid a day, no more. And then finally, we have this emergence of this hearable category. And so on one side, you have the big players like Samsung and Apple basically developing wireless hearables, which could then move closer and closer to our industry. And on the other hand, we are leveraging this wireless technology and putting that into our hearing aids and moving closer into their direction. So this is a very interesting dynamic.
Which is a point. I mean, theoretically, if they want to create wireless amplification systems that are not classified as hearing aids, they could certainly do that. A Bluetooth device already solves that problem. All they have to do is connect it to some sort of microphone on the piece and, you know, they're done. So
yes and no. I think the regulatory system will definitely evolve. I think we just need to stay clear to our mission, which is really providing the best possible hearing performance in hearing aids. And there's a lot of innovation going on there. I mean, if you look at our latest innovation, AutoSense OS, this is an innovation where the hearing aid scans the environment and identifies in which environment you are, and then seamlessly switches to all different programs with very, very complicated algorithms. So I think as long as we continue to innovate along the hearing performance realm, there'll, you know, there'll always be a market for these high-performing hearing aids.
You know, I think that's really where the fascination with an entrepreneur, some of the entrepreneurs may look at it and say, well, let's see, the downside of being an entrepreneur is that you have to answer to other people, you have some limitations, and I'd love to talk about that. The upside is you certainly have resources to work with.
Yeah, I think when you are embedded into companies like Sonova, Phonak, and previously Nestle, then one thing you never worry about is cash. And most entrepreneurs, cash is king, and you really worry about that the whole time. So that's really off my table.
You do, on the other hand, have to worry a lot more about performance in the short run, right?
Correct, and about delivering profit improvement and growth.
Do you find there's limitation in the agile nature of the employees when you're working for big corporations?
You know, moving forward, I think agility will be one of the key success factors in any enterprise. Agility in these big corporations, it's hard to come by. And then you overlay still a Swiss culture. And as we move more from product innovation to service innovation, we have to become more agile and accept that we need to embark on something before the whole journey is panned out from A to Z. And that's a cultural change, which is difficult to inspire people to.
You're quite an inspiring guy in your off hours as well. You're a mountaineer and you've done all 7 summits. The Everest trip, was it hairy? Was it dangerous?
The short answer is no. I mean, if you go with a very reputable company and you sign up and you're well prepared and all that, then it is, you're taking calculated risks, but it's a calculated risk.
I know you have some insights in relationship to mountaineering and leadership.
For me, there's a lot of parallels between mountaineering and leadership. I mean, it all starts with having kind of an audacious vision of where you want to go, you know, up to the tallest mountain in the world. And that's also, you need to, as a leader, you need to have that vision and you need to be able to conceptualize that vision and share that vision with your team. Then afterward, like in mountaineering, you need to build a team who wants to go with you to the top of the world. And in business, you have to also build a team who believe in your vision and who are prepared to follow you and believe in you. And then I think most importantly is it's all about trust. You know, if you are on the mountain, you will have people with different skills and different skill sets, and you need to trust that person 100% that he will deliver on his skill set. And if you think of it in business, if you can trust one another fully, then you can operate much, much faster.
It's time for our rapid fire questions, Martin.
Yep.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
What makes their heart sing and what are their values?
Name 3 of your personal core values.
Honesty, transparency, and perseverance.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
I was blessed to be able to work for Paul Polman, who was at Nestle for some time and has now become the CEO of Unilever. And Paul would always pick and show the opportunity, and he was always positive, and that had a profound impact on me, and I really also take that with me now.
What is your favorite business book?
Actually, 2. It's the biography on Steve Jobs, and then another book, Hostage at the Table, by IMD professor George Kollreiser.
What are you reading right now?
So if I'm honest today, I'm actually not reading a specific book right now, but I obviously cherish The Economist, which I read back to front every week.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Pointing out opportunities, looking outside of your industries, and then connecting the dots.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Seeing the problems too soon and negativity.
Name 1 daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Taking a step back, looking at the big picture, and also kind of looking how your industry relates to other adjacent industries.
Name 1 trait that makes an employee valuable.
Loyalty and dependability.
What's your strangest daily habit?
Well, if it were that strange, I probably wouldn't share it here. But one which I do, and actually I've started doing that since I followed the Hoffman process. In the morning, I get up at 6 in the morning, and then I lie in bed for about 15 minutes, and I kind of reflect on my relationships, so both with my children, with my spouse, and the key relationships I have within my company, and how I can better nurture those relationships.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
What I like doing is after a meeting, I like to take that person or the team aside and just really share my sincere appreciation for a job well done.
Well, I'd like to share my sincere appreciation for a job well done today. Thank you so much, Martin, for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next Tuesday when I'll be interviewing YPO member Dinesh Damija, founder and former CEO of travel website eBookers. He'll tell me about the perfect vacation spots to ride out a soul-crushing midlife crisis. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to the YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit www.ypo.org.